24, if you got your Bible, chapter 24 of the book of Genesis. And I could be like old brother was down there in Gastonia, down in McCaddenville. I preached a meeting down there one time, and brother Leroy Wright was his name. That's been a long time ago. And you know what they did in their service? The deacon would lead the service, and he'd say, has anybody got a song they want to sing tonight? I believe I'm safe in doing that in here, amen? But I wouldn't want to do that if I didn't know nobody, amen? But praise God. We'll go with the congregation song, a little preaching. I got a meeting after church here with you on a few things, and we'll look in Genesis chapter 24. Hope you'll pray for me, God, and help me tonight to help you. And this chapter dealing with Isaac and Rebekah. And here in verse 61, the Bible said, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." You know, if you look at the life of Isaac and see what God did for this man, it's amazing. And here, if you go back to chapter 21, you find the birth of Isaac, how that Abraham and Sarah was past age. They wasn't able to bear a child as far as their physical being as past age. And then God gave them Isaac. And, of course, Isaac comes in the world. He's a bundle of joy. In fact, his name means laughter. And then in chapter 22, and Abraham was faced with the biggest test of his life when God told him to take Isaac up to the Mount of Moriah and offer him up for a burnt offering. And of course, you know the record how Abraham took his own son there, drew the knife and was about to take his life. And God stopped him, and God told him there was a ram in the thicket by the horns that was caught, and he'd become a sacrifice for what he had went for. And he really was in the stead as far as one that was going to be the sacrifice, from picture of Christ. And then we find that in chapter 24 of Isaac's life, we find here that God gives him a wife. And the whole thing is, when you read the Old Testament, you got to remember this. The Old Testament deals with God's earthly people. It deals with a nation of Israel that God dealt with, and they were His people on earth. Israel was the nation that God chose, not because they was a lot, because it was God's will and God's favor and God's desire to choose them. And of course, Abraham went out, you know, from the earth of Chaldees, and God started a Hebrew nation through this man. And now we find that he has a son by the name of Isaac. And now God says to his servant, Abraham did, he told him to go get a bride for his own son. And he said, go into my country and get her. Amen. And he had to go into that country. And we find here that he was a picture of the Spirit, a picture of the Holy Ghost, if you want to look at it like that. And God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit surely is a picture here in chapter 24. And Rebekah would be a type of the bride or the church. And here when we see this, we see tonight tonight on that thought. What a meeting. Amen. But everything that was ordained by God, how God set it up. You know, we're reading a book that's already complete. We're reading a record tonight that already has happened. And God, it's amazing. I thought about the goodness of God, how that God gave us a written word exactly the way it happened. Amen. It's amazing, friend, that God said this is the way it happened. I mean, He used Moses to pin this down. And Buddy said, this is what it says. This is the way it happened. Amen. Moses wasn't there when Genesis was, and Isaac was in the world. Thank God he come in Exodus. But he did write the word here under the power and inspiration of God that we would have a record. Amen. This is what God says. And Buddy, I'm telling you, that's amazing how God's preserved the word. I don't only believe in inspiration. I believe in preservation. That God has preserved His word. Amen. That we might hear it and know it. And so what a great meeting here. Hey God, my friend, Rebecca wasn't looking for this. But God had it set up. God sent the servant out, or Abraham did, God being the head of it, and went down to the well, amen, in that country. And here comes Rebecca out with a pitcher on her shoulder to go to the well. And there the servant gets to praying and asking God, is this journey worth it? Amen. Is this what you want? Is this it, God? And God gave him assurance, amen, that this was the one for Isaac. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, God set it all up the day God came where you was at. You weren't looking for God. God knew where you was at. And He knew who to send by. Hey, God, where you was at. Amen. I'm telling you, it's amazing tonight. Amen. Thank God, that's right. That well meant that was the same well that Hagar got under that well, the whole, and it just meant him that liveth and seeth me. Amen. That's what it means, praise God. And amazing. And I mean, think about this meeting. It was a planned meeting. And you know, God help. These people think God, that these things happen by surprise to God. God appointed that way, friend. You don't know it when it's happening, but thank God when it does, after it does happen, and you look back, you'd have to say it was God. I mean, it was just God. You couldn't figure it out. You couldn't have drawn it up. And buddy, I'm telling you, when that servant went down there, and the first woman he seen, that was her. It was going to be the bridegroom's own son. Thank God, Abraham's son. Hey, you couldn't have planned that. Hey, man, buddy, God set that thing up. It was the right time and the right day, and God said, that's her, amen. It's a planned meeting. It's a prepared meeting. Every step was ordained to God. Every step. You look, listen, I'm looking at it from it's already happened. Somebody said something one time, said, what about predestination? I said, what about it? I'm tired of these people denying the Bible.
Amen.
It's in the book. Predestination is in the book. That means God predetermined, thank God, to conform you to the image of His Son. Amen. I'm not scared of anything in the book. God put it there. Amen.
Amen.
If you think you've done it, you got a wrong thought, friend. Buddy, God's everything. We can look back and say, hey, boy, it was God right there.
Yeah.
Don't you come up this thing, well, it just happened. It just didn't happen, friend. It was God that done it.
Right.
Amen. God's the one that said this is His time.
Yeah.
Abraham, tell him to go down there. Thank God. Amen. He'll go down there and find that woman. I'm going to send out with a pitcher of water on her shoulder. Amen. And she's going to be in the family. And she's going to be the one. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, everything. Amen. We sing that song, Each Step I Take. I tell you this, on Each Step I Take, Each Step I Take It. Amen. Thank God, buddy. He just led me and guided me. And I'm telling you, I can rest in that tonight a whole lot better than trusting myself. Amen. That's right. You know why you're scared of it? Because you've been taught against it. You've been taught against it. I'll take any verse in this Bible and take it. If this church can't take any verse in this Bible and they form their own little corner doctrines and they said, well, this is what we've always been taught, what about the Holy Ghost? Right. Amen. Right. Buddy, I'm telling you what, I'm not afraid of anything in this Bible.
Right.
Why should I be? It's God's letter to me.
Yeah.
Amen. They say, and then people say, do you believe in predestination? I said, why shouldn't it? The Bible teaches it.
Yeah.
They just fouled up on what it is.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, somebody asked me one time that I believe God predestined people to heaven and hell. I said, predestination has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what God does in His people.
Right.
And can I tell you this tonight? Can I tell you this? Everybody was going to hell. Everybody's going to hell. Amen. There wasn't some going to heaven when they was born. Everybody's going to hell. Everybody's a sinner and needs to be saved. And God had mercy.
Right.
Amen. You say, did God pick you? I said, He sure did. If He hadn't, I wouldn't have picked Him. Amen. Thank God, if He hadn't have chose me, I wouldn't have chose Him. If He hadn't have drawn me, I wouldn't have came to Him. I'm telling you, it's all in the book. They even asked Rebecca, they said, will you go with this man?
Yeah.
She said, I will.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. She had to respond.
That's right.
But she couldn't respond until she was asked.
Right.
And he didn't ask anybody. He asked Rebecca. Right. Amen. Hey, God, you better thank God the time God asked you.
Yeah.
Amen. It might have been on the same day he asked somebody else. But I'll tell you, the only time you respond is when God speaks to you. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. You just don't decide on Jesus.
Right.
You don't. That's a falseness. You just don't decide. You don't wake up and say, I believe I'll decide to be with Jesus. You'll never make a decision that He faces you with one.
Right.
Amen. Thank God. I didn't decide to open my front door today because nobody wasn't there. Amen. That's right, buddy. There's a will of God. Amen. If somebody come to church one time here and they said to me, they said, you preach a God salvation. I said, that's right.
Amen.
Jonah said it, salvation of the Lord. Amen. I said, well, I'll tell you what, if I can find something else, I'll preach it. Amen. Salvation of the Lord is by grace through faith, and put her down in gold, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. And I have no problem with it. If any man ever gets saved, it's because God had grace on him and gave him faith to believe in the Son of God, and it wasn't yourselves, it was the gift of God. Amen. You say you believe in whosoever will. Buddy, I do.
Yeah.
Whosoever will.
Right.
It deals with his will.
Right.
Whosoever will, let him come take of the water of life for you. Whosoever will, let him come.
Yeah.
Amen. Jew or Gentile, whosoever will, come.
Right.
Sure, I believe it. I wouldn't bother me one bit how hard a man preaches on responsibility and God's God drawing on man making an act of God. Praise God. Preach it, son. Amen. It ain't going to offend me. Old Brother Edgar Thomas, he is a heavy grace man. And they asked him, Honor B. Green was coming to preach one time for him. And Honor B. was heavy on responsibility of man. And they asked Edgar, they said, Edgar, you think he'll hurt us? He said, if he can with the truth, let him do it. Amen. Thank God, buddy, I'm telling you, I'm just as fast. If you can't take it and I can't take it, don't you get puffed up and blowed up and mad.
Yeah.
Amen. You said, I ain't heard it like that, and a man didn't say it like that. It really don't matter. It matters what God said.
That's right.
You telling me God didn't choose you? If God hadn't, you wouldn't be saved. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit.
That's right.
Amen. Thank God, buddy. That man went down here and God said, that's her. Hey, will you go with this man? She said, I'll go. Amen, buddy. That's salvation right there. Have that man, the Holy Ghost, come to you and say, will you go with Christ? And she said, I'll go. Amen. Thank God, it's a planned meeting. It's a prepared meeting. You think God, it just happened by surprise one day, you just stumbled into Baptist church and a man got up and preached the gospel and buddy, it got attention to you and you just decided you was going to walk out and get somebody to lead you in a Romans Road prayer and get you up and say you got saved. Hey man, buddy, I tell you, that might have been somebody get in like that. But if they just cause God was a point on the other end, amen. Thank God. Amen. You can have a salvation, man, if you ought to, but I'll tell you what, if you can be convinced on John 1, 12, and 13, but as many as received Him, H-I-M, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood. Well, your bloodline ain't no good before God. Nor the will of man. Nor the will of the flesh. I don't split hairs with nobody. I preach what I believe. The free will of man was in the garden. God gave him, He said, you may freely eat. Here it is, Adam. Look at everything here. You may freely eat it. Besides that one, I told you not. Son, the day He took of that fruit, He's got a bound will now to sin. He's bound to sin, son. You say, preacher, you mean a man can't do what he wants to? He can, but he can't do what he wants to and God not be with it. I'll give you something the other day I was reading in Genesis. I've been going back through it and combing it. When old Abraham went down there, thank God, and told his wife to say, this is my sister. When she went into Abimelech, God said, I'm going to shut the wombs up in your house. You got another man's wife. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
And Abimelech, when he found out that was really his wife, he got fearful of God and said, here, take her back. I don't want her. And you know what God told Abimelech? God says, you know what, Abimelech? He said, I kept you from sinning with that woman.
Right.
God kept that man from sinning with that woman. You telling me God can't stop somebody, He stopped him. He stopped Pharaoh. Right in the Red Sea, He drowned him. Amen. And I tell you what, it wasn't Moses that drowned Pharaoh, God did.
Amen.
Amen, that's right, buddy. Amen. You say, preacher, they out doing all they want to. They just run the course of sin like you did before you got saved. And it still takes God's grace to get you out of it, friend. And it was an amazing thing that God allowed the servant to land where He did. Amen. Notice this here, it was not only a prepared meeting, but it was an anticipating meeting. I don't know why people's not anticipated to see Jesus. To see the Christ, to see God do something. There's a lack of anticipation. You know, I'm a nervous type fella. I've got a lot of nervous energy. Them old boys was up here preaching another night. Young men. I was sitting there in my seat and my hands was sweating like I was. I've asked God about that. I said, Lord God, I'm going to die young. I was always intense about everything. But I anticipate things so much. Amen. Thank God, buddy. I mean, when God called me to preach, I was so anticipating to get up and preach. I was nervous. Went to the bathroom 3 or 4 times. Amen. My hands nervous, sweat shaking, and nervous. You know, why am I anticipating something? Now, I don't believe Isaac was like that. I believe Abraham was. Isn't it amazing the personalities in the Bible?
Yeah.
Here's John and James, the son of thunder. And now John laid on his bosom. But he still probably could take them down pretty quick when he wanted to pray fire down from heaven and kill that crowd. Amen. Here Isaac's just walking around the field out there. Wasn't in too big of a hurry. I'd been saying, wonder where they at. Praise God, where's he at? Y'all impatient sometimes. I get impatient. I mean, I'm more impatient than all of me, I reckon. Amen. Hey, God, that's where I really, I like to be on time, and I don't like to get in a big hurry, but sometimes I do. I'm anticipating some. The Bible said she arose. God help. I asked the Lord to help me. I said, Lord, help me not to get upset at people that's slow. Because that's just the way God made them. I've told my wife many a time, I said, there's some good people that's just easy. I said, boy, I'd like to have a truckload of that on me sometimes. I'm just like that all the time. Amen. That's right. I really don't have a whole lot of relaxed times. I wish it did. I believe Isaac was like it. I believe he's just out there mowing. Ain't God a meditating in the field, just walking around. Amen. Amen. But that woman was anticipating to meet him, and she got up fast. And buddy, she got on the camel, and her nurse did, and some other women did, and they was going to meet Isaac, and she was anticipating something.
Yeah.
That's a lot of child in people, you know what I'm saying? You go on vacation, and you watch the little children saying, when are we going to get there? Dear God, get out of the backyard and get in the car and go 2 miles. Hey, Daddy, when are we going to get there? Amen. Anticipation. I mean, God help us. Shouldn't we have some anticipation? Amen. I remember when I didn't know my wife. I'd met her before when I started to date her. Anticipation. She got on. I tell you, it was anticipated me. Then it was an excited meeting. Man, here she come up right there, and she said, who's that walking in the field? And the servant said, that's him.
Yeah.
She lighted off the camel too, son. She got off of it. So I got to go meet him. Amen. It was expected. It was anticipated. It was something about it, friend. It was exciting to her. Hey, God, here he is. And she said, I seen him. And she lay out the camel. She couldn't wait to get to where he's at. What a meeting. Amen. Amen. Boy, I think Peter was like that. Remember that day he was on the shore, Jesus was, and John said, that's the Lord. Peter said, but God, I got to swim to him. Remember that day they come and said, to Mary said, we've seen the Lord. And Peter and John ran to the tomb. John outran him. Probably was a good runner. But Peter got there and he ran into the tomb before John ran in. Anticipation. Amen. Excitement. You know, serving God ought to be exciting. It ought to be, thank God, we ought to be happy. Amen. I mean, when you come to church, thank God, you don't come, you'll not come to that church and think, what can the preacher give me tonight? You ought to come and say, what can I add to the service? I'm just expecting, anticipating, and excited just to go sit on a pew. Thank God, I ain't done something for me this week. I just got to tell about it.
Right.
Hey, man, I got to get down there. I got to pray. Got to get down there. I got to just hear the Word. Got to sing. Amen. Amen. See, what causes an individual to lose their excitement. What causes that? What causes somebody to lose their joy, to lose their first love, not to have that excitement like she had? Yes, to let off the camel to get to the, thank God to him that she has got married. What, my friends, caused the church to lose his excitement? What caused that? Amen. I mean, what caused that when you see the first, I mean, your first love, and you just, now it's not like it was. I understand, no, the older you get in the Lord and in life in general, there's going to be things change. Amen. People say, well, I sure wish it was like it used to be. Well, why ain't it? It ought to be better.
Yeah.
Huh? Why isn't it so exciting to sing the songs of God, to meet with Christ, and to enjoy His blessing? Why isn't it? Huh? Why isn't it exciting as it was in your marriage when you said, I do? You got in that car that they painted all up, and you got in it, and you headed to the destination of your honeymoon. You said, man alive, this is it. Amen. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, friend. It ain't ought not be like that. It ought to be the same. You say, it can't be, preacher. I know it can be better. It can be better. Oh, I'm telling you, we got, I don't know what it is in the South. I never have lived in the North. But I know in the South, we got the old fogey syndrome. Yeah, Grandpa's an old man now. Old man. That's right. I might be an A son, but there's still some fire in the cook, in the a stove. Amen. And I'm talking about spiritual fire. I ain't talking about this setting back. You know what? You know what? Television about killed you. About killed you. I wonder when they die, son, if they ain't going to bury the television with them. Computer. Y'all won't listen to me. Ain't no need to preach it. I'm talking about, praise God, the real stuff. I'm not talking about a brag book. I'm talking about the real book. But the devil's got your mind blinded, you see. That's why you're down. You come into church, ain't got no power on your life because you've been looking at TV and the computer all day and you want the preacher to stir you up. Amen. Right. And you know, that's I tell you what, it's about a curse for a man to have a lazy boy. I remember when Brother Jonathan, when I met my wife's son, I ain't gonna lie. Man. Hey, man. I mean, when I went to her house, I didn't say, babe, I'll go over and take a nap and your daddy's a lazy boy. And now you know the way it is. God help. That's the way it's in the church.
Yeah.
We've got everything in this church. I got to think of some things. I mean, we got a lot of things in the pews. I don't know how we'd make it without them. Pillows, blankets. I'm amazed. I ain't never seen nobody sitting on a pillow with a blanket around and mowing their grass yet. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We've left our first love. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you one thing. We've lived in so much comfort that we've left the first love. Son, when she said that's him, she got off the camel and went to him. Amen. That's right. Amen. You know what's wrong with the spiritual life you're living? It ain't exciting to you. Jesus is my best friend. I talked to Him today.
Yeah.
He told me He loved me. I thanked Him. I cried and said, I thank God You're my Father. What else is better than that? Amen. I said, Lord, I sure thank You for the day You came by. I'm glad I'm one of Yours. Thank God. Amen. And it welled up my heart. And I said again, Lord, I'm so glad that You came and got me one day. And You bought me by blood. And put me in Your family. Thank God it's real. Amen. Thank God. She got off that camel, son. Camel of grace is what that one old preacher preached. She rode the camel of grace to the sun. Amen. I'm still on Him, buddy. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank God. It was an exciting meeting. Amen. You know what? I'll get this while I'm talking about it. He didn't go out and look for her. I said He never dated her. That's right, never did date her. God brought her to Him. Yes, it's an exciting meeting. No, it's a modest meeting. She put on a veil. That's a respectful thing for them women in that day. That's a covering. It's a holy meeting. I'll say this in passing. It's a sad day. It's a real sad day. I'm trying to learn this. I just want to say this right. I don't want to say nothing I shouldn't say. It's a sad day when the marriage bed has been defiled. I know it's not defiled in the marriage, but outside the marriage, can I say that? It's a sad day. We're raising a generation of young people that fornication don't matter. Do it who you want. Do it as much as you want to do it in this sad day. This woman was a virgin. That's the day we end. Can I say this? I say this respectfully. It's a sad day when young girls dress like harlots. It really is. I'm glad y'all young men said amen. I'm going to tell you what. You listen to this preacher. That's the bait of Satan. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm a man, son. That might look good to lie, but it's poison to the heart. I've never seen a day where they don't want to wear no clothes no more. I hollered about over at a shaver the other night. Me and my wife sitting outside. We got them little hummingbird feeders. Yeah. One of them come up there. He's about that big. And Brother James said, they ain't wearing enough clothes. I put on a hummingbird. That's what I thought about when I seen it. But here's the sad thing. Women want to be seen when they go out, but when they come home, they want to look like they've been robed in five shirts and robes. I'll leave that. It's a modest meeting. Son, she went out in a modest. Her heart was pure. She was reverent to that man, son. She put a veil on her face. And also unmarried women, thank God, was testifying, I'm a holy woman. You know what old Brother Pace said one time? I never have heard this before. He said, Brother Hyde, I've studied on that where it said Esau. He said, lest he be a fornicator. Remember that verse in Hebrews talked about Esau being a fornicator? And this is what he said. He said, God told me this, what that meant. He said, what it meant was, Esau wouldn't wait. Wouldn't wait. He said a woman ought to be shame-faced. That don't mean that she's belittled or she's less than a man. It means that her spirit is quiet and meek and of a holiness. If she's a mouthy girl, then you ain't going to calm the mouth. There ain't no man ever tamed it.
I think we ought to do this.
Could you imagine Rebecca getting off the camel doing that? I mean, really, if you put biblical holy women compared to what's today, it ain't even no comparison. And I tell you, one of it's mama's fault. Because they see her raising sand to the husband, and then they want to do that. Hey, Scott, that's right. I'd kick it off into hell. That'd be a good field goal right there. Right in the middle of hell. George Blanda style. Y'all don't even know him. You know him, don't you? He's the old straight on kicker. There ain't many modest today, buddy. And they can wear a shirt, wear a dress down the ground and have a long tongue as Jezebel had. Ain't that right, Brother Shane? You've been in church all your life. You've seen women dress right and do right as far as their dress and be as wicked as a snake. What? We got to induce some vomiting. Throwing up that mess. She went out excited and she went out holy. Hey, man. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. I think a woman ought to look like a woman. I don't think she had bullfighting breeches on and her hair bobbed off and her shirt hanging down where she could see something on her. Tattoos all over her body. Listen, I'm not preaching to lost people. I'm preaching to saved people. I'm telling you, lost people have enough sense not to go tack your body up.
Yeah.
I want me an image. Put one right there. Hey, put an anchor right there, boys. Get me one of them cut-off t-shirts and walk around. Put a little chain around my neck and earring in my ear. God help. Look like a banny rooster. This country has an image problem. Oh, Brother Matthias said it right. We're having revival in America, piercings and tattoos. I understand, no, preacher, everybody, it's a sign of depravity, it's a sign of sin, and all that, and I understand people getting it done before they're saved. I'm not preaching about that, but God help, where's the common sense? You say, I don't like it. Well, don't matter, I still love you, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to preach it, because I know these boys here is going to be tested with it.
Yeah.
That's one thing I ain't never been tempted with. I don't like needles that good. And plus, why did I want something on me that I can't take off? Pierced lips, pierced tongues, pierced... You know what, really, let's be honest with you. God can save anybody who He wants to. I preach to people and hug people's necks that's got tattoos from head to toe and all in between. And if they come here and got saved and joined this church, they'd be as saved and as right with God as you would. I would have no problem for him singing in the choir here. His past is gone. Why would you battle with it? From the day a man gets saved, his past is gone. Put on a shirt, a pair of pants. He's got tattoos and he's got them. He's saved. He don't have no past. Isn't that right? I'm going to get in right here. I'm just going with the flow now. But listen to me. It's a spiritual kingdom we're in. God don't look at but nothing but the heart.
Right. Yeah.
And when he looks at a heart of a born-again man, that's what he judges man by. I want to ask, and I know this is a cliche, but listen to what I'm about to tell you. What would Jesus do? Would you have went to a woman that's been married 5 times and lived with a man that wasn't her husband and said, ma'am, there's a better life, and I'm it. Jesus said that. He said that. And when she got saved, she could sing in my choir and testify. She could. I don't care what the Baptists say, or the Methodists, or the Pentecostals. Would you? Would you put a sign on this church and say, no Samaritans welcome? Would you say if that woman, that Samaritan woman, was living in this day, and she ain't God coming to that church and stood up and got to testify, and she was a Samaritan, she was a half-breed woman, would you say she ought not do that? Or would you say, thank God? I feel like running. You know why I call this the truth? You say, who's she supposed to marry, preacher? I'll leave that up to God. I want to ask you one question, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to finish this thing. I want to ask you one question as a church. When a man gets saved, when Dennis Shank got saved 40 years ago this coming August, I know your testimony, brother. From 40 years ago, go back to 41 years ago. He has no past. The day you got saved, right now, it don't matter how long you... Hey, you said you got saved, what, 2000 what?
Six.
If they'd say, Lord, what about Aaron Burton in 2005? No history. You remember what? No history.
That's right.
She got off with a holiness. I mean, she got off with a veil. This is a modest meeting. I'll say this, I got to go on. It was an introducing meeting. She met him. She met him. You remember the day you met him? Head on. Yeah. The day you met him. That's him. I met him one day. Amen. Thank God I met him. Yes. I met him. I didn't meet a doctrine. I didn't meet a denomination. Amen. I met a Savior.
Yeah.
I met him. He met me and I met him.
Oh, yeah. He did
meet him. I met him. And he said, I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you. He said, I forgive you. I died to forgive you. I forgive you. He said, I'm yours forever. I'll never leave you. Oh, yeah, buddy. She lied off the camera when she met him. Face to face.
Right.
She met him. Oh, yes. I remember when I met my wife. I'd seen her. I went to that Lutheran church where she grew up at. I went there to play sports. And the old boys called me and said, it's crazy, but it's true. I was a supplanter. I wasn't a hairy man like Esau and a hunter. I was a heel snatcher. And then boys called me and said, what you doing? I said, well, over here lifting weights. They said, Myra Lookabill wants to date you. I said, what? I said, I don't believe y'all crazy. Huh? She declares it today she didn't tell him that. But it don't matter. I went back and I told him, boys, they said, who was that? And I said, that was old Mark Meisenhammer. He said, Myra Lookabill wanted to date me. You gonna date her? Old Barney, he said, you're gonna date her. I said, no, I ain't gonna date her. You ain't nothing. You won't call her your chicken. I said, well, you know that ain't me. I called her. I met her. We ate. Went to a movie. We did go. Now, you have to forgive me. I wasn't saved. I know some of y'all, you know. Real. And from that day to now, we've been together. Over 35 years.
Yeah.
That's the way it happened. God set it up. Unusually, but it's true. That's right, buddy. I met her.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody's got a record of meeting him. 1983, I met him. God touched my heart, and I met him.
Amen.
And I ain't never been the same. And that day she got off that camel, she met him.
Yeah.
It was an introducing meeting. And I'll say this, it was a comforting meeting. His mother just died a few years ago. Do you know how Isaac was? It'd be hard now, Justin. This is hard right here. I used to preach this a long time ago. I got better sense now. He was 40 years old when he got married. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? Huh? I mean, really, you got 23 more years.
Yeah, I got a lot
of And we always said, I think the daddy ought to pick the wife out. See how far that gets, buddy. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to pick them out now. But I sure like to have the head shake on it, and the handshake, I approve it. If you can't get the approval, then you'll have problems. It was a comforting meeting. His mother died. It comforted him to have Rebecca. And he took her into the tent. And he married her. And he met her. Married her. And that's the only wife he ever had. Isaac. Only wife he ever had. God set it all up. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? So I'm going to tell you what. You say, preacher, what's this all about? It's about the meeting. It's about the meeting. So I'm preaching to you about the meeting. It was a great meeting. Amen. That's right. He was 60 when he had his children. That's all he was. She went 20 years without having a child. That was a bad thing for a woman in Israel to not be able to bear children. He got to praying. You know what it said, Brother Jonathan? It said, and he entreated the Lord for her. That word entreat there means he interceded to God for his wife. And of course, they had two boys that was twins, Esau and Jacob. Have you ever met him? I didn't say join the church. I said, have you ever met Jesus? Have you ever met him? Could you get up and tell me about him? Oh, I could tell you a lot about my wife. She could tell you a lot about me. You know why? We met one day. We've been together over 35 years. Have you ever met Jesus? Brother Robert, pray for us tonight.
Our Father, thus stand in thy presence.